Well, I remember when I was at uni, there was an old rumour that if you hadn't started studying for your end of year exams by the time the jacaranda went into bloom, then you're in a bit of trouble. And I think every year came and went and I hadn't started studying, but the jacaranda blooming sure got me hitting the books.
Yes, I remember with cicadas. It was, if I was hearing cicadas, goodness gracious me, it'll be exam time. And then I remember sitting in the school hall doing the exam with the drone of cicadas. I just haven't heard many lately. And cicadas are an indicator species as well.
That's Jenny Patterson, a guide at the Botanic Gardens in Sydney. These simple observations about the outdoors, the kind of observations we make all the time, these lie at the heart of a new citizen science movement, Climate Watch.
Recently, we did a Climate Watch walk to the general public, and a lady came who lives in the city right behind the Australian Museum, and she said this is her backyard, and she's now picked up a copy of the trail, and so when she does her daily walk through the garden, she's just got a bit more of a focus. She's really looking to see, well, when is the first flower going to be on a particular tree, or when is the fruit going to be coming out?
You're listening to Off Track on ABC RN with me, Joel Werner. And today we're going to find out more about Climate Watch. It hasn't been an easy few years for climate science. Public trust is declining, the denier movement is increasingly vocal and well-funded, and political decision-making seems, in a lot of ways, determined to regress to a mean of inaction. One way climate scientists are re-engaging the public interest is citizen science, getting members of the public to participate in scientific research. Climate Watch is one such initiative. The idea behind Climate Watch is that a flowering jacaranda tree indicates more than just the approach of end-of-year exams. Climate Watch is all about phenology, that is, how events in the life cycles of plants and animals are influenced by seasonal change and variations in climate, especially temperature. If these life cycle events start to consistently occur earlier or later than expected, it could indicate more profound climatic shifts. The role of citizen scientists in all this is to keep an eye on certain indicator species of plants and animals and to note down when these life cycle events occur. This data is then uploaded to the Climate Watch website, where it's analysed by scientists from the Bureau of Meteorology and the University of Melbourne. Today, Jenny is leading me on a data-collecting mission through the Botanic Gardens. We set off with map and pen in hand.
I'm a regular guide in here. Every day we take people on free guided tours. And every now and then we get involved in special projects. And this particular project, the Climate Watch project, is a real opportunity to focus in on just what the plants are actually doing and a lot of the animals that we have in the gardens and where they are in their life cycle. We're looking for details that indicate change. It may be the first flowering of the tree, and it could be if it's a deciduous tree when all the leaves have fallen. It could be first sign of fruit or the fruit is open. And when we come to some of the wildlife in the gardens, it could be the first sign of a particular bird, its arrival. So we're coming up to the first plant that's on our trail. It's the African tulip tree. So we look.
Is that the tree with the orange?
It's got these incredible orange flowers up the top of it. And we go to the field guide and it tells us when to look. September to March, so here it is, December. And there it is flowering. Now, about 3 weeks ago, not a flower there. So it was actually quite exciting the day the first flower opened and we could record it.
And was that flowering earlier or later than you'd usually expect? Because it's quite a mild summer so far.
Yeah. At this stage, really no different to other years. But this data that's been collected, look, it may be years and years worth of data before any changes are noted. But at this stage, it's just being observant, getting the data into the website. We walk around with a map and we record these particular things as we go. So we look up at this African tulip tree, which is an introduced tree. It's from Brazil. It's actually a bit of a weed up in Queensland. Looking at this particular tree, we look at the information that we're given on the website and the things that we can record. So we can record, well, first fully open flower. No, it's further than that. It's up to full flowering. So just on the map we walk around with, we just do a little code for African tulip tree and we put down full flowering, and we look at anything else there that fits in. And so that's all that we're just putting for this time for the African tulip tree.
And on we go. Jenny and I might be exploring the botanic gardens today, but the whole idea of Climate Watch is for people to start making these type of observations in their own area.
On the website, you can click on Record a Sighting and you can set up your own location. So I've clicked on the map and set up one in my backyard at Lilyfield. When I hear a cowell calling, oh, yeah, that's the first time I've heard it this year. Gosh, first time this year. I'll go and record it straight away.
And what sort of other species are you looking for in your backyard?
Oh, in my backyard, got with the plants, the indicator species. I have jacaranda and the silky oak, Grevillea robusta, are the two plant species in my yard. But some of the animal species, I have the common cowell, the channel-bill cuckoo, they're often flying by at this stage, the cabbage tree butterfly, the orchard butterfly. So anyone can just go and get their own spot and have it on the website. It could be in your school grounds, your local park, as you're walking to the bus stop.
What are we looking for with the jacaranda?
Well, with the jacaranda, the main indicator there is flowering, leaves and the fruit. Is it full flowering, end of flowering, no flowering? So we come up to this jacaranda and look, there are a few flowers on this one. I know there are a lot more jacarandas around Sydney that are still with lots of flowers, but what we're mainly seeing here is just a few, and so it's really end of flowering. So that's what the code will be. I'll write that down for the jacaranda. But we've got other things that we can note. We can look at the leaves. So what we've got up there now, I can see.
They're changing colour.
Yeah, they're slightly. The new. That little colour we're seeing, that soft pinkish colour on the tips, showing that it's new. It's a new growth. So I'm going to record leaves. Well, the first fully open leaf, it's gone past the first fully open leaf. So it's leaves open. But in the little additional comments, I'll say many new leaves. But what I just saw flying around us were the welcome swallow. We were just walking over here. Here you see the welcome swallow coming around, just skimming across the grass. It moves around, it disturbs some of the insects, and they fly up and it feeds on the wing. Here it comes again.
And so what are you looking for with
the
swallow?
It's one of the indicator species. It's really iconic. Lots of people are able to recognise this one. And we're going to record things like, is it courting, mating? Can't see that. It's not calling or feeding. It hasn't got chicks or anything like that. But also we've got another thing we could say is feeding. Now, you never see a swallow sitting on the ground or on a branch having a good old chew of something. It's feeding on the wing.
They're dramatic birds as well. Like you were saying, they fly inches above the ground and scoop up any insects that happen to cross their path.
That's really lovely here. You can walk across the open lawns here, and often two or three swallows will circle you as you walk. It's almost like a little welcoming committee that flies around you and protects you as you're walking.
Hence their name.
Yeah, that's right. They're very welcoming, I find.
This is Off Track on ABC RN. I'm Joel Werner, and today I'm walking a Climate Watch trail with Jenny Patterson. Now, there's a certain energy that Jenny has as we walk around the gardens, a passion for the natural world. I've got to say that she strikes me as the very model of a Climate Watch citizen scientist.
You've only been doing the Climate Watch trail for a few months, Jenny, but you've been recording changes in species for a lot longer than that.
Well, I've just been interested in the environment since I was a kid, plants and animals, particularly native ones, because I grew up near the bush and that was just my backyard. You'd come home from school, I don't know when homework happened.
What sort of things were you noting down? For example, when the first time you heard a bird call, was it that sort of thing you were noticing?
Well, yes, I've always kept a bird roll. I was a primary school teacher, so the kids would also be recording when they first saw a particular bird that month. So at my own place, I've been recording for 30 years, every time I first see or hear a bird or a particular butterfly for that month. And with a common coel, I actually write down the actual date I first hear it. And it's usually around about October the 22nd every year, which is quite interesting.
Have you noticed any changes in your backyard over those 30 years?
Yes, the most amazing change was the absence of small birds. I'd been recording every month for over 20 years, and then suddenly, I think it was 2003, it was almost like June 2003, No more. Silver eye, white-plumed honeyeater, New Holland honeyeater. They just weren't there. Some of the belief about it is that we have a lot more of the larger birds staying in Sydney. People saying that's because Sydney siders are just planting a lot more trees. People want grevillea plants that have got flowers that are on all year and they're really big flowers. And they're the flowers that they're not suitable for some of those little tiny silver eye and some of the other little birds.
And so since June 2003, those small birds haven't returned?
They have not been in my backyard. I really miss them. But I also have a lot more rainbow lorikeets, cockatoos, currawongs, magpies, a lot of those big birds.
It's fascinating that over 3 decades you can notice such fundamental changes to your local environment.
I was really concerned and I thought, perhaps it's because the City West Link Road had gone in and it had stopped a corridor for where the birds were travelling. But I spoke to lots of other bird people from the Australian Museum and they said everyone's found the same. But there will be pockets of Sydney where some of these birds still are.
So Climate Watch, this project really formalises what you've been doing in your own backyard for 30 years. How did you get involved with the Climate Watch project?
Well, I'm a volunteer guide here at the gardens, and the Botanic Gardens were approached from the scientists that are putting this Climate Watch activity together. There's quite a core of scientists in Australia through the Bureau of Meteorology and I think University of Melbourne that have been working on it and are trying to get more people being citizen scientists. And so the Botanic Gardens was targeted and we've got about 90 volunteer guides here and it was just announced one day who'd be interested in getting involved. And because I've got a particular interest in the animals, but I love the plants as well, I put my hand up and there's about half a dozen of us.
The Botanical Gardens guides would be the perfect people to get on board as citizen scientists because you know the garden so well and this is what you do.
Yeah, there's been one guide who's been a guide here for 30 years, as long as we've had guides in Sydney's Botanic Garden, and Dorothy is her name, and she has just always recorded when plants were flowering. Because as a guide, you really like to know when you're about to take people on a walk. You want to show them something flowering. So she would just write down, record what was flowering. She has ended up with, over all those years, with over 6,000 recordings of plants flowering and when they were flowering. So, like, you know, she wants to go and do a walk and it's March. She'll go and look at March's notes from last year and say, oh, that was flowering. It's probably flowering again. Now, those records are just magnificent. They've been passed on to the Climate Watch people.
I can imagine the scientists wide-eyed and salivating when they heard about 30 years' worth of data. Yes. And 6,000 data points.
Yes, yeah, and Dorothy felt really chuffed about it too. She's still a guide.
And how do you feel about being a citizen scientist? Does it enhance the job in any way?
It really does. It really does, because I feel as if this is just not for my enjoyment and my fun. I'm actually doing something, and I'm hoping that I'm going to encourage other people. I think when you take more notice of what's around you, you learn more and you appreciate it more. So I'm hoping people are going to start recording and getting on board with this project.
Does the Climate Watch project sound like something for you? If you want to find out more, follow the link on the Off Track website, abc.net.au/radionational/offtrack. And while you're there, you can check out photo galleries, download audio, or let me know what gets you off track.